Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? It is Cody Gotham's Caped Crusader. We're keeping it geekly on this fantastic Friday. How is everybody doing out there? We are going to be dropping some heavy-hitting news on you and some fresh DC comics right out the press. So let's go ahead and talk about the biggest piece of news that I found this morning, and that's Raven Software. Testers at Activision Blizzard are going to be the first to form a union at a major U.S. gaming company. And staying verbatim with the article, it looks like with help from the Communications Worker of America, Raven Software testers launched the Gamers Workers Alliance, which plans to focus on improving the conditions of workers in the video game industry by making it a more sustainable, equitable place where transparency is paramount. Now, this 34-worker union is asking management to recognize their union during the acquisition of Microsoft acquiring Activision Blizzard. When Raven Software laid off 12 contractors in early December, the team at the Wisconsin-based studio staged a walkout, which continued for 5 weeks leading up to today's announcement. The ABK, a workers' alliance, used its sizable social media following to crowdfund over $370,000. To assist with the wages during the strike, the CWA said that this strike was the third work stoppage at Activision Blizzard after the company was sued in July 2021 over sexual harassment and misconduct claims. Now, surprisingly enough, all of the news today is going to be focusing on the Microsoft acquisition of Activision Blizzard, with Raven Software Studios forming their own union within the gaming industry. I think a lot are going to follow in their footsteps. Leave a comment down below letting me know what your thoughts are on the situation and what you think will happen in the future. Now, with that being said, we're going to be moving on to our next piece of news. It looks like Phil Spencer, CEO of Xbox, is looking into reviving some old Activision games. Now, we're going to be diving a little bit deeper into this Washington Post because we, of course, have covered the $68.7 billion acquisition of Microsoft and Activision Blizzard. But it also will be adding an element that the newly minted CEO of Microsoft Gaming, Phil Spencer, sees as the core to Microsoft's strategy for consumer acquisition, a slew of video games and long-abandoned franchises. A lot of us have a sour taste in our mouth with Activision Blizzard, so there is a lot of questions going on with this acquisition, and it looks like when asked about the workplace complaints faced by Activision Blizzard in a 10-minute interview with the Washington Post on Wednesday, Spencer was quoted saying, "I believe the leaders there believe in the opportunity they have in their plan." I have a pretty big feeling we're to see some long lost and beloved franchises from Activision, because Spencer was later quoted in that interview saying he looked at the IP list and he's seen King's Quest, Guitar Hero, Hizen, and the list goes on. So he's rather excited about it. Leave a comment down below letting me know which games you hope to see a revival in. Now on to our last piece of news, and I saved you guys the best for last. It looks like Activision Blizzard CEO Bobby Kotick will be leaving the company as soon as Microsoft and Activision Blizzard finalize their deal. Now, just like our first piece of news, I'm going to be diving a little bit deeper into this Wall Street Journal article, because the first part of it is going to be talking about the acquisition, and we already know about that. Now, it looks like Bobby Kotick, Activision's longtime CEO, is expected to leave after the deal closes, according to the people familiar with those plans. Microsoft has said in its announcement Tuesday that Mr. Kotick will continue to serve as CEO of Activision Blizzard, and that after the deal closes, the Activision Blizzard business will report to the Microsoft gaming chief, Phil Spencer. Keep in mind that this is not 100% confirmed, but with both companies having agreed that he will depart once the deal closes, it looks like in an interview he didn't really address the status after the deal closes, but he said that he told Microsoft he will always be available to ensure that we are going to have the best integration. It also looks like on Monday, the Journal reported that Activision has pushed out or disciplined more than 80 employees since July as part of the efforts to address harassment and other misconduct allegations. We see the progress that they're making that was pretty fundamental to us deciding to go forward here, Mr. Spencer said. And last thing that I wanted to note here, it looks like on Monday, the Journal reported that Activision has pushed out or disciplined more than 80 employees since July as part of the efforts to address harassment and other misconduct allegations. Now, with Microsoft acquiring Activision Blizzard, I had a big feeling that Bobby Kotick was not going to be CEO for much longer. As soon as these papers were signed, either that or they were waiting for him to slip up to just cut him loose. And it looks like things are gearing in a way in which everyone will be satisfied. Now, let me know how you feel about this. I know a lot of people are anti-Bobby Kotick, so this should be some rather pleasing news to hear. Now, with that being said, that does wrap up this week in Geek, but stay tuned. We got those fresh polls coming right out the oven. We're going to be starting off with Nightwing issue 88, written by Tom Taylor with art being done by Bruno Redondo. Dick Grayson Act 2 begins with Nightwing overlooking Bloodhaven as Blockbuster puts a hit on him via Gunhawk and Gun Bunny. Now, before his big announcement with the Alfred Pennyworth Foundation at Bloodhaven Docks, he makes a pit stop to see Bitewing and Oracle at their home, But he doesn't know that she's planning something behind his back. Now we find Dick at the podium giving his speech in which he lays the blueprints on how he plans to help the city. And as soon as the ground where the construction is to begin is broken, we see Gun Bunny pull the trigger on her rifle. And as soon as that happens, we see Starfire holding the barrel while Donna Troy corners her off. Now in the crowd, we find Oracle and Beast Boy surveying the area, but they are not quick enough to catch Gunhawk, who has a clear shot. The Flash comes to the rescue this time, and we find that Oracle was pulling all these forces together for Dick's big day. Now, while the Flash takes him to get a new suit, we see Blockbuster in a call with Gunhawk, and this time he's calling in the B team to finish the job. Now, armed with a new suit courtesy of the Flash and Mr. Terrific, it's time to take on the B team and Blockbuster, but they aren't alone because he has some friends coming along the way. Titans together forever. Now, hands down, Nightwing has been one of my favorite reads over the course of the last several months. Let me know in the comments down below what you guys think of Dick Grayson's character and how he's evolving into the person who he needs to be. Now, with that being said, we're going to be moving on to our next book of the week, which is going to be Batman the Night, issue number 1, written by Chip Zdarsky with art being done by Carmine D. John Domenico. Now, this issue begins with a troubled Bruce at a young age, sitting in a therapy session, recounting the bruises on his knuckles. We find Bruce in a school fight, the teacher, of course, believing that the orphaned Bruce was in the wrong when he was really sticking up for a kid being bullied by two kids. When asked what happened, though, he responds with zero remorse. Coming home, Bruce notices that his library is completely empty, with Alfred Pennyworth being at his wit's end. Now, since Bruce only wants to use his fist to solve his problems, they will refill this library book by book and learn that solutions aren't simply torn knuckles. With Hugo Strange delving deeper and deeper into Bruce's emotions, transitioning from talking about his sadness and anger to attempting to force him into hypnotherapy. Now, the ambitions of a young Bruce Wayne cannot be quelled that easy as we pivot to Alfred walking in on Bruce reading to no end, acknowledging that they may need a second library and then noticing that Bruce has been studying up on Taekwondo and realizes that book have all sorts of solutions. Now, Bruce Wayne's story has been redone countless times over and over again, but this one had a new spin to it, focusing on those therapy sessions with Hugo Strange, and I'm wondering what is going to happen in issue number 2. Now, with that being said, we're going to be moving on to our last book of the week, which is going to be Batman Detective Comics issue 1049, written by Markio Tamaki, with art being done by Ivan Reese. Now, the Tower Part 3 begins with Dr. Meridian and Anna Volgen having a therapy session going over a movie of a basement filled with grotesque and mutilated corpse before pivoting to a maintenance worker named Mark Barbier helping her back to her room. That woman arrives at the tower and assumes the role of Dr. Fro and begins looking for Dr. Ocean's office before being asked to grab a cup of coffee with Dr. Meridian. It's here we find that she's Mayor Nakano's plan at the tower, and there's still no true answer to how these patients are rehabilitating as fast as they are. Batwoman then runs into another disturbing memory of her past, Siphon. Now, Siphon, of course, was the mass murderer that her and Batman caught many years ago, surrounded by countless bodies. And it's during this moment she looks over and she notices Mark helping Anna once more, and she begins to put the pieces together and what that could implicate. And that's when she steps in and she demands to be the one that takes her to her room. Now, this brings us to Dr. Ware's office, in which he's telling a party crasher that they are just there to retrieve the product and not take advantage of the patients because Mayor Nakano's $6 million check is on the line. With Batgirl there monitoring the meeting the entire time, unfortunately, there was no drugs present at the scene. Now, with 10 days left until the massacre at the Arkham Tower, things are heating up, and with the Huntress there as a plant, she is firmly believing that she is now a patient and she doesn't want to leave, and she's going to be stuck in the middle of it. Now, with that being said, guys, that does wrap up our podcast for the week. If you haven't already, be sure to check me out on all of my respective social media platforms at JobForCody. And if you like today's video, be sure to hit like, subscribe, and turn on notifications. With that being said, guys, keep it geekly.